All right, I say we do it just like this.
I think so too.
Let's
Welcome
go.
To Highly Questionable. I see you. I'm Katie Nolan. That's Pablo Torre.
I want to do that. Okay.
That's My Israel eyes out Gutierrez's of, out of frame. Temple.
Was last night's Caps Rangers game a good or bad thing for the NHL?
That's right. It's hockey in the A block. Let's start the story Whoa. At the beginning. On Monday, we had the Capitals playing the Rangers. Tom Wilson, who is a notorious, he's been suspended 5 times, player. He's a winger for the Capitals. He attacked, I guess we could say. I'm trying to break this down as easily as possible for non-hockey fans. It's very rare we're at the beginning of the show. Artemi Panarin is not going to play for the rest of the season for the Rangers. There's only a couple games left, but he's out with, I believe, a lower back injury because of an altercation with him. And also, he shoved Pavel Buchnevich's face into the ice, and nothing really happened. He got a $5,000 fine for what he did to Buchnevich, but nothing happened for the Panarin hit. And after that game, the Rangers issued a very strongly worded statement in which they called out the head of player safety of the NHL by name, George Parros, saying that he needed to do something about this and that he hadn't done anything and that that was weakness. And they were basically calling for his job. Cut to Wednesday. These two teams played each other again, and exactly what I think we all predicted would happen. Certainly interesting. If this was your first hockey game that you've ever tuned into, you might feel a little bit confused. Basically, the first period ended with 0 goals and a combined 100 minutes of penalty time. So they got a lot of action into the game. As to the question of whether or not this is good for hockey, there's obviously a number of different ways to answer it. To me, the way I see it, like I said, we're talking about hockey in the A block of Highly Questionable when I can barely get it into the C block. And so if you're watching this and you're not a hockey fan and you think that that seems barbaric or any other adjective that you would use, I would say there are a lot of passionate hockey fans who make strong and well-phrased arguments against things like this happening in hockey. There is a place for you if you want to be a hockey fan who's against fighting. There are also hockey fans who can make an informed argument for fighting in that it is kind of the vigilante justice of a league that has a lot of difficulty regulating things like this happening on the ice. The Rangers are known as a weak team. This was kind of seen as something they would not be able to do, and they had to make a statement in a big way in order to let the Capitals know that they weren't going to get pushed around by them again after what happened on Monday. It makes weird sense in the cinematic universe of the NHL. I will also say something that non-hockey fans could use as something to get in and enjoy this game was that TJ Oshie, who you may remember as a star of the 2014 Olympics for Team USA, had a hat trick last night. It was his first game back after his father passed away. It was a very big moment for him that obviously the shine is all directed at the mayhem, but there is goodness, and I do love this sport, and I would urge people to watch it regardless of how this moment may have made you feel, but I know people will do otherwise.
Yeah, let's just be honest here for a second, though. The NHLCU, as Katie Nolan has just coined it, the cinematic universe of hockey, like, it is a mess if you only consume it through the lens of controversy. The controversy is what also gets attention. Attention is currency. These are all realities of the world we live in, the business that we are in, the way that we find interest in stuff across a scattered and bloated media economy. That said, is this actually good for the sport in any like substantive way beyond just eyeballs and traffic and all of this stuff? I mean, it is, to return to the previous phrasing, a mess, right? Like, the whole problem with what happened on Wednesday is that the Rangers, I think, understandably had flashbacks to like Todd Bertuzzi jamming Steve Moore's face into the ice. And this is me going to be hockey fighting scold, because that dude had various injuries and in his career. It's a serious thing. It is a Wild West with real consequences. And that is the sort of thing that hockey, the commissioner's office, should want to stamp out. The response from the NHL, though, that just happened today, guys, is telling to me, because the NHL fined the Rangers $250,000. $250,000 is a huge fine in any sport for any offense. And they did it not for anything related to the fighting. They did it because they dared to call for the job of George Parros, which tells me that hockey, the central office, is mostly concerned with preserving its bureaucratic integrity as opposed to solving the problems that have propped up that called into question said integrity. So it is a mess. It is fun because we get to watch fighting videos, but I don't think it's that good in the end.
I think I need some time here, like a 5-minute major or like a timeout or something, because that's a lot of hockey to digest.
So much hockey.
All right, so I'll start here. The idea that they fined the Rangers that much, what was it, $250,000?
Yes.
And Tom Wilson, somebody who does this for a living, and I mean do this for a living, I mean try to injure people, it appears, only got the $5,000 fine. As you said, Katie, he'd been suspended 5 previous times. He defends his hits. He says if you go frame by frame, they're clean hits. The guy is clearly a goon. You saw what he did to Buchnev. He gave him a cheap shot to the face. And so going back to respecting the question here, is it good for hockey? Well, I look at it as, is it good for hockey if it's going to encourage growth? More people to want to play, not necessarily go to the games, but play the games and be interested in the games. I don't want to play a game where Tom Wilson's going around punching me in the face and throwing me on the ground. I don't want to do that. And if I want to skate, then yeah, maybe I'll be like an ice dancer or something. But I don't want to play hockey just to get my face beat in and then have the guy not penalized for it or not punished for it. So no, I don't think this is great for the sport. Show me a game with a bunch of goals and a bunch of skill and I'll say, hey, I'm intrigued by that. I also wanted to just drop this nugget in here. George Parros, a former goon himself, not something that I knew, I had to look this up, of course, had a cameo appearance in a movie called Goon. So if he's going to lean toward any side in this argument, it's clearly going to be towards Wilson's, and that is not something that is probably good for the sport, because a lot of people can get hurt that way, and a lot of people are going to be angry, not exactly excited to watch a game.
Was John Means' no-hitter any less impressive than a perfect game?
Yeah, so the Orioles played the Mariners, beat them 6-0. John Means threw a no-hitter, almost had a perfect game, except this happened in the third inning, a wild pitch that was a drop third strike, which led to one base runner and therefore nullified a perfect game. That's frustrating. It's frustrating and triggering because I was a softball pitcher and boy, was I not good. And so when I would strike someone out and the catcher would drop the ball, I would get irrationally angry. It was all definitely my fault, but boy, was that frustrating. But John Means, to his credit, seems to be taking this in stride. I mean, this is the first game that he has pitched more than 7 innings. That's wild. He, a couple years ago, was searching on LinkedIn for a job. He was was a substitute teacher, I believe. This is someone, you know, his comments after the game, he was like, that doesn't matter. That was an awesome game. It felt good. It was obviously very impressive. And I would say I'd be very happy with that performance, as it seems that he is. What's interesting to me, if conspiracy theories were something that were still fun and kitschy instead of like dangerous and potentially, really, really bad, this is where I would throw out that we've seen an awful lot of no hitters this season, it feels like, right? We've had 3, I guess 4, if you would include Madison Bumgarner's, which I know we're not allowed to include. And I would say that, you know, in an era when we've been discussing that there's too many home runs and we've investigated what's up with the ball to see if maybe something's happening with the ball, that this would be a way to make people want more hits and home runs in a way that, you know, maybe right now they're like, too many home runs. If you go through a long time where there's just all these no hitters, I don't know, maybe we should be looking at the ball is what I would say if conspiracy theories were safe and not ruined forever. But that's just my non-opinion.
Katie, since you're schooling us so previously on hockey, and now that I know you played softball, I'm curious. The dropped third strike, right, and that swung through. Why can a guy go on first base for that?
I have yelled about this, and I have never gotten a good enough answer.
I have the answer.
What is it?
I looked into this, guys, because I had no idea. So it's actually a vestige of a game, a version of baseball that did not have like strikeouts before. Back in the day, the original origins of baseball, you got to just try to run to first base after like your third strike was accumulated, no matter what. And they just never changed it. But it doesn't make any sense to your question, Izzy. Not at all.
It's It was definitely before the days of common sense, for sure. And so it just makes it all very confusing, like, because that base runner ended up getting caught out, caught stealing, I believe, right? And so he faced the minimum. He faced 27. So he was the first pitcher in baseball history to throw a non-perfect no-hitter with no hits, no walks, and no errors, which to me sounds like a perfect game, right? Because it's not your fault that the dude dropped it. So it's all very confusing. Just like all this trend of all these no-hitters, not only are strikeouts up, but batting average is down. And when a guy who was a substitute teacher potentially a few months ago throws a no-hitter, perhaps it's time to start finding a way to encourage more offense into the game. Because even though they're shorter, they keep the game very, very tight. I don't want to see that. Don't want to see that very often.
Yeah, the no-hitter has been devalued due to inflation. It's unavoidable. There have been way too many of them. It's so much less special. Basically, everybody who's ever been a part of a perfect game in the past, they should be demanding cuts, financial and otherwise, from those pitchers, because those pitchers, it turns out, absolutely needed all of those guys to do very basic things that we all assumed they could do. But no, in fact, it's really hard, it turns out, to execute this thing. So yeah, give them all the credit, please.
Also, shout out to baseball, where a perfect game is one in which nothing happens.
Up next on HQ.
Who has the biggest wingspan of us? Who has the widest wingspan on Highly Questionable? Based on the video evidence currently, I'd say it's me.
Yeah, this is this is definitely more good television.
You be the judge, viewer. Izzy, put your arms out for the bit.
Do you question if this was good offense or bad defense?
Ah, yes. Mo Bamba has the longest wingspan in the NBA. Taco Fall is 7'5". Let's see what plays out when these two titans of industry get on the court together.
A regular Rockefeller versus other rich guy from olden times.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
This makes me so sad. It makes me sad that they're celebrating so much. It makes me sad that Mo Bamba went for this fake. It was so bad, so late on the fake. And what makes me saddest is that 7'5" Taco Fall put a move on the longest wingspan in the league. By the way, Pablo, nobody can see your arms when you do this. So the longest wingspan in the league, and he couldn't finish with a dunk. Like, turn that thing over and dunk it to make it an actual highlight. You were 7'5".
To me, it was the cheers from the bench. It just feels wrong for a guy who is 7'5" to also be treated as like the team manager, because he is, again, 7'5". And I guess maybe is it the undershirt?
I think so.
Because Taco Fall's like,
it's that his name's Taco.
Player. Oh, yeah.
When your name's Taco, I mean, that's a hard thing to get out. I think he handles it really well. Who has the biggest wingspan of us? Who has the widest wingspan on Highly Questionable? Based on the video evidence currently, I'd say it's me.
Yeah, this is this is definitely more good television.
You be the judge, viewer. Izzy, put your arms out for the bit. Come on, dude.
How do you know I'm not? All right, here. There.
I can tell that you're not. I can see from your shoulders.
Do you question if Jock Peterson should be proud of this game-tying RBI?
All right, the Cubs are playing the Dodgers. Jock Peterson's at the plate, playing for the Cubs now. We've got a man on base. That's the tying run. This could be the game-winning hit. Bat flip.
Ooh.
Looks like it is. But it is not.
Oh, man.
It is definitely not. Run came in, though.
How
tying
premature.
Run comes in. That's a ribby.
You ever bat flip for a sack fly, Pablo?
I would bat flip at every possible opportunity if someone let me hold a bat in a context that matters.
The face, though, he did make exactly the correct face. He was like, oh, God, that was embarrassing. He knew exactly how embarrassed he was meant to be.
He also knew exactly that he would be a professional athlete when he realized what his name was. Like, I don't know why most parents just don't name their kids stuff like this and just ensure that they're going to make a lot of money athletically. I used to think, for some reason, this is a really weird thing, I used to think the name Lance was automatically like a great athlete. Anybody named Lance would make it as a pro. Is that weird?
Yeah. I've always wondered how they know how far the ball is going to go when they bat flip. This should happen a little bit more often than it does, in my estimation.
This is why I can't judge Jock Peterson, because anyone who's ever been to a baseball game, You know you get excited at any fly ball, and you have no depth perception. Anybody who says they know if it's going to be a home run or not is lying to you. We're all just sort of waiting for other people to seem to have authority on the matter. We get it wrong every single time.
It's the same people that cheer at basketball games when a made basket is clearly after the whistle.
Look,
it's
some like of us are there for the drinks. Some of us are there to partake. It's not school, nerds.
Do you question if Tony La Russa should have admitted this?
So the extra innings rules in baseball have changed. They're a little complicated. Something about who gets to start on second base. Tony La Russa put a pitcher there and then was asked about it later after the game. And here's what he said.
Tony, without using Hendricks as the runner in the second inning, was that a intentional choice? As the rule book says, you could have used Abreu as the pinch runner if in that case.
Well, you have to use the guy who made the last out. And that was Vaughn, not Abreu. So Vaughn made the last out.
The rule book, the MLB.com said, if the player in the batting order immediately preceding the half innings leadoff hitter is the pitcher, the runner placed on second base may be the player preceding the pitcher in the batting order. Did like the umps explain anything like that? Or?
Well, you know, I didn't know that. I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out. Or that spot in the order.
If your reaction to this is like, oh, the rules are too complicated, or like, I didn't know that rule either, that's fine. We're not the coach, and I feel like, or the manager, I feel like you should be more aware. And it also feels like the energy with which he finds out he wasn't aware is not great either. I would love for it to have been more of like a, oh my God, really? But instead it was like, I didn't know that.
It does raise another question, by the way. Like, what is Tony La Russa hiding under his hat? Can we just show like that video again? Why is his hat so high in his head? What's going on under there, Tony?
Was that a...
In Tony La Russa's defense, there is a position on the staff. It's called bench coach. That's what they're supposed to do. Tell you what you don't already know. And so, in his defense, he probably is going to get angry at his bench coach after this. Probably even, like, hit him with whatever the heck is under his hat.
No, he had the energy of, like, your grandparent that you're explaining how to, like, use the mute function on Zoom with, except they don't care because we've been doing this for 15 months. And they're like, yeah, I never learned it. Huh, interesting. And they just remain unmuted.
Yeah, I've just got him as sitting there taking notes. So, MLB.com, you say?
Does it just disappear on everyone's screen or just online?
Just as we were making fun of Tony La Russa for not knowing about technology, we were both incredibly startled when Israel Gutierrez disappears into the eighth dimension.
Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, Lakers and Clippers.
Oh, 10 p.m.? That's right in my wheelhouse. Ooh. I'll say yes. LeBron's out. Kawhi's back from his mysterious foot injury, but he's not back empty-handed. He brought jokes.
Why did the mushroom go to the party? Because he's a fun guy.
Oy. Oy vey. I mean, it even felt like he was reading it. If he wasn't reading it, I don't know if that's better or worse, but he's bringing very read-a-cue card energy. At least he's consistent. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued because shout out to those producers who sensed everything that Katie just described, but they were like, no, we have a fix for this. We're going to throw some music underneath. Can we play that one more time?
Why did the mushroom go to the party?
Yeah, these beats, though.
Man, his eyebrows do not move an inch. Izzy, are you intrigued?
Not so much. This isn't the victory over the Lakers that I want to see the Clippers get here. But I will say this. Normally, if you provide a joke like that, you want to give a little, at the end, right? A little, hey.
Oh,
he looked directly at the person who asked the question and basically looked at him in the eyes and said, am I done? Watch, play it again. As soon as the punchline, it's like, okay, I can go.
Why did the mushroom go to the party? Because he's a fun guy.
We done here?
See? He wasn't looking for another joke. You could see in his eyes.
All right. right, that feels like an episode. And what a good episode it was. Yeah. I'm Katie Nolan. That's Pablo Torre. If you want more of him, you can listen to ESPN Daily. If you want more of Izzy, yeah, good luck finding him. He disappears sometimes. I hear he's on Around the Horn today, but he may just poof. Yep, just like that.
Yep, there it is.
There he goes.
Can they
Technology.
See me?
Oh, he's still here. Fun.
Whoa.